Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Do I think this is the best thing for any governor to do? No. But do I understand the sense of real desperation trying to get a handle on this? Remember, in New York, we want to know who's in New York. We want people to come out of the shadows.
Hillary Clinton on Governor Spitzer's driver's license plan from last night's Philadelphia debate on MSNBC. We also had it on WNYC last night. Was she for it or against it? This was the debate that Barack Obama promised beforehand would change the tone of the campaign. And it was mostly about Obama and Edwards accusing Clinton of talking out of both sides of her mouth and being too status quo. The goal was to raise doubts among Democratic primary voters about her character and electability. Did it work? Well, that's up to you. We will play two extended excerpts of these exchanges and some other clips right now, including a longer version of her Spitzer driver's license plan response. We'll talk about them with Todd Gitlin, who has a new book about the Democratic and Republican parties in this election cycle. And we'll take your calls and comments, 212-433-WNYC. Or WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show with your reactions to last night's debate. Now, here is how it got started. This is the first 2.5 minutes, unedited. Barack Obama is asked about his differences with Hillary Clinton.
First of all, I think some of this stuff gets overhyped. In fact, I think this has been the most hyped fight since Rocky fought Apollo Creed. Although the amazing thing is I'm Rocky in this situation. Look, we have big challenges. We're at war. The country is struggling with issues like rising health care. We've got major global challenges like climate change. And that's going to require big, meaningful change. And I'm running for president because I think that the way to bring about that change is to offer some sharp contrasts with the other party. I think it means that we bring people together to get things done. I think it means that we push against the special interests that are holding us back. And most importantly, I think it requires us to be honest about the challenges that we face. It does not mean, I think, changing positions whenever it's politically convenient. And Senator Clinton, in her campaign, I think, has been for NAFTA previously. Now she's against it. She has taken one position on torture several months ago, and then most recently has taken a different position. She voted for a war to authorize sending troops into Iraq, and then later said this was a war for diplomacy. I don't think that it — now, that may be politically savvy, but I don't think that it offers the clear contrast that we need. I think what we need right now is honesty with the American people about where we would take the country. That's how I'm trying to run my campaign. That's how I will be as president.
Senator Clinton, rebuttal.
Well, I don't think the Republicans got the message that I'm voting and sounding like them. If you watch their debate last week, I seem to be the topic of great conversation and consternation, and that's for a reason, because I have stood against George Bush and his failed policies. They want to continue the war in Iraq. I want to end it. The Republicans are waving their sabers and talking about going after Iran. I want to prevent a rush to war. On every issue from health care for children to an energy policy that puts us on the right track to deal with climate change and make us more secure, I have been standing against the Republicans, George Bush and Dick Cheney, and I will continue to do so, and I think Democrats know that.
Hillary Clinton preceded by Barack Obama from last night's debate. With me now is Todd Gitlin. His latest book is The Bulldozer and the Big Tent, Blind Republicans, Lame Democrats, and the Recovery of American Ideals. He's a professor of journalism and sociology at Columbia University. Todd, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. I hope you're taking care of your cold.
So your book is about the balance between appealing to the party's bases and the broader electorate. And I guess that's what we saw on display in that exchange.
Well, it's one thing we saw. Can I make a large comment about the debate before we talk about the particulars?
You bet.
The notion that this is a debate, I think, is actually outlandish. This is a sort of a gong show. The notion that it's useful to in the process of the democracy flexing its muscles and brains and choosing a candidate, useful to have a lightning round. The notion that certain figures like Tim Russert in particular, not to mince words, are anointed to ask the key questions in full pomposity. Questions like, will you pledge that Iran will not develop nukes, he says, from the pulpit. This is childish. He doesn't deserve it. He's never been a journalist. He's not a reporter. How does he get anointed to do this work? So if we were going to have a debate, we'd have candidates standing and addressing each other, raising questions about what they think is important, developing points, et cetera. That's what Lincoln and Douglas did. This is not a debate.
I wanted to play later on, and we will later on, that one or two of the answers to that pledge question.
Yeah.
When they were asked to pledge that Iran would not develop nuclear weapons on their watch as president. But in terms of what we saw from the candidates, and so your opinion of Tim Russert is clear, what we heard from the candidates, you know, as I say, it seems to play into one of the major themes of your book, which is both parties' candidates trying to play to their bases and play to the general electorate at the same time, which is, I think, where a lot of this hedging and accusations of hedging and, you know, hedging when you claim you're not hedging and all of that comes from.
Well, I think that's exactly right. And it's a necessary straddle. Because every candidate has to play to the base, but at the same time has to remember that these episodes will play in the course of the general campaign. And so flip what people have come to call, what party activists have come to call flip-flopping, is a necessary consequence. It's simply an automatic feature. The movie opens and there are going to be titles. There's going to be flip-flopping because there's a gesture. The left hand wants this and the right hand wants that.
So do you?
This is not very illuminating.
Right. Now we're going to play Edwards and Clinton going round as Obama and Clinton went round in a minute. But just to put your cards on the table, if there are any cards, do you have a candidate you're supporting?
No, I don't.
Or an opinion on this whole issue of Hillary Clinton as egregiously political more than anyone else?
Well, yeah, I suppose my opinion is that to make a career in politics, to be a party person, to be a professional, is to make compromises, to change positions, and to straddle political constituencies. And this requires a certain artfulness. I don't know that Hillary Clinton, I genuinely do not know whether Hillary Clinton is any more prone to make these sorts of adaptations than any other candidate. What I do know is that she's not especially adept at it. But is this a matter of some sort of inner mush that's mushier than anybody else's, or is it simply a matter of her maladroitness and her ill-suitedness for this sort of dance? I genuinely do not know.
And listeners, that question is on the table for you. If you heard last night's debate or the excerpts that we're playing, and, you know, we're trying not to do the soundbite here, but play extended excerpts where, at least in the context of this debate, the way it's organized, you can get some fuller sense. So 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post your comments to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And just after Obama and Clinton had the exchange we just played, it was John Edwards' turn to go around with the front runner. This is, again, about 2 minutes plus. In this case, we pick it up a short ways into Edwards' answer when he gets specific about Hillary Clinton.
Senator Clinton says that she believes she can be the candidate for change, but she defends a broken system that's corrupt in Washington, D.C. She says she will end the war, but she continues to say she'll keep combat troops in Iraq and continue combat missions in Iraq. To me, that's not ending the war. That's a continuation of the war. She says she'll stand up to George Bush on Iran. She just said it again. And in fact, she voted to give George Bush the first step in moving militarily on Iran. And he's taken it. Bush and Cheney have taken it. They've now declared the Iranian Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization and a proliferator of weapons of mass destruction. I think we have to stand up to this president. And then finally, she said in our last debate that she was against any changes on Social Security, benefits, retirement age, or raising the cap on the Social Security tax, but apparently it's been reported that she said privately something different than that. And I think the American people, given this historic moment in our country's history, deserve a president of the United States that they know will tell them the truth and won't say one thing one time and something different at a different time.
You stand behind the word double talk.
I do.
Senator Clinton.
Well, I think that anyone who's looked at my record of 35 years fighting for women and children and people who feel invisible and left out in this country knows my record. I fought for expanded education and health care in Arkansas. I helped to bring health care to 6 million children while in the White House. And now in the Senate, I've been standing up against the Republicans and everything from preventing them from privatizing Social Security to standing up against President Bush's veto of children's health. You know, I have a long record of standing up and fighting. And I take on the special interests. I've been taking them on for many years. And I think all you have to do is go back and read the media to know that.
So Hillary Clinton, who then went on to get to talk specifically about Social Security, but we'll get to that separately. But Todd Gitlin, you know, it's funny. The criticism of Hillary Clinton that you often hear from the right is kind of contradictory. It says, on the one hand, she's a diehard liberal. We can't have such a liberal radical socialist in the White House. And on the other hand, she'll change her positions and say anything she needs to do to get elected because it's all about power, right? Which are contradictory. Last night, we heard, in effect, the same version, a version of the same thing from the left, which is Hillary Clinton is too much like the Republicans, and Hillary Clinton doesn't take a stand. So, you know, how could she be too much like the Republicans?
Well, yeah, you're exactly right. And I think this is all rather childish, or to use a kinder word, irrational. The candidates are like products screaming, to, you know, buy me, and there are six or eight of us on the shelf. And so you get talking points that are meant to differentiate brand A from brand B. And so anything will work. So, you know, when it suits Crest to be, you know, the better-smelling toothpaste, there'll be the better-smelling toothpaste. When it suits Crest to be the healthier, more fluoridated one, there'll be that. It really doesn't matter. I mean, there's no principle at work here. It's a degrading spectacle.
We'll continue in a minute with Todd Gitlin. We'll start to take your phone calls, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Is it a degrading spectacle, in your opinion? Does the way it was handled make you think any less of Clinton or Obama or Edwards or any of the others, not to mention the moderators? 212-433-WNYC. Stay with us.
I will say it one more time. It's time for the Democratic Party to take a position on impeachment and for the House of Representatives to move the bill that I've introduced.
Well, nobody's going to say Dennis Kucinich is too much like the other candidates or too soft on the Republicans. Interestingly, nobody took up that topic. He raised it twice. Todd, did you notice that? The moderators, Tim Russert and Brian Williams, would not even throw the question to the others. Do you think that President Bush and Dick Cheney should be impeached or that impeachment proceedings should be launched? So that was just dismissed as completely fringy.
Well, that's very interesting. And I noticed something else, Brian, that Hillary Clinton mentioned that nobody else picked up. She said that she was for reining in military spending. Now, I don't know whether this, you know, whether somebody who's an opponent of hers would see this as an example of pandering, or somebody for her would see this as an example.
Clinton
that she's
said
actually
that.
Speaking her mind. Yeah, Hillary
Clinton. Now, I heard Kucinich say that, but I didn't notice Clinton say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. So it went by very fast. So It was part of a longer speech where she said this has been a disastrous period in American history. That's what my notes remind me.
Todd Gitlin, my guest on WNYC, professor of journalism and sociology at Columbia University and author of the new book, The Bulldozer and the Big Tent, Blind Republicans, Lame Democrats, and the Recovery of American Ideals. Before we take a call, your idea of the bulldozer and the big tent, that refers to the Republican and the Democratic Party personalities.
Yes, and the personalities are also the personalities of their anointed leaders. Bush is the representative bulldozer, full speed ahead, don't listen to reason, don't listen to anybody who disagrees with you. Push the party into a machine, into a hierarchical army, and get things done, roll over antagonists. The big tent is the alternative that the Democrats, I think, are now ready to assume, in which they, since the Republicans have bulldozed their way into a corner, more or less the Confederacy, it now behooves the Democrats, and I think they basically understand this, or certainly Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid understand this, is that they have to be the party of the center-left, that is, everybody who's not ready to be dragged over the hill into a program of war and absolutism. Within the big tent, however, there'll be lots of fights, lots of disputes, and some of them were out here on display.
Ron in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ron.
How are you?
All right.
I really enjoy your program. I was going to say, I think that if there was a winner last night, it would be Senator Edwards, because he directly confronted Mrs. Clinton. She never answers the question, and he was very direct. Obama always gives a speech. He's very smart, but he never confronts her. And I think that I enjoyed watching her have to answer a question, but she always not answers, and I really respect her, but I really don't like the fact that she never answers the question. So you really never know where she stands on an issue.
Ron, thank you. Abby in Maplewood, you're on WNYC. Hi, Abby.
Hi. I think that a lot of what's going on was set up by Chris before the debate. Chris Matthews kept talking about how he felt she should be challenged more, and maybe they're afraid that they're not going to get enough viewers. So now they want to set up
to keep challenging Hillary. Chris Matthews in the pre-debate show on MSNBC, because, you're referring to.
Yeah, he kept talking about that. And if you count how many times the moderators directed all the questions to the other candidates about Hillary and about trust, you'd be amazed how many times they asked it. Every discussion was about how Hillary was going to answer it.
Well, that's right. This debate was about that. But, Todd Gitlin, how much do you blame the moderators, and how much do you say, well, this is what the candidates are doing right now, that this is the strategy of Barack Obama? He told the New York Times, I'm going to start ratcheting it up to draw my distinctions more sharply with Hillary Clinton. Senator Edwards has been doing that, and then, you know, was more than happy to be given that structure last night, because that's part of the basis of his campaign. So maybe the media is just covering what the candidates are doing.
Well, I will never miss an opportunity to criticize the media, but in this case, I agree with the second part of what you just said. I think that this is what the candidates were strategizing, and the media were letting them play it that way. Hillary has been running steadily ahead, whatever you want to make of the polls and how predictive they are. She's been running steadily ahead, so the storyline is now, will anybody catch up? And you know, it's not exactly the home lap yet, but it's getting there. So this is the story.
So let me play this Spitzer moment again. I think this was perhaps not the one where they thought they were going to get her doing what they were accusing her of doing, but maybe they did. Senator Clinton was asked, as the senator from New York, as well as presidential hopeful, whether she supports Governor Spitzer's plan to give driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. This is her full answer.
This is where everybody plays gotcha. It makes a lot of sense. What is the governor supposed to do? He is dealing with a serious problem. We have failed, and George Bush has failed. Do I think this is the best thing for any governor to do? No. But do I understand the sense of real desperation trying to get a handle on this? Remember, in New York, we want to know who's in New York. We want people to come out of the shadows. He's making an honest effort to do it. We should have passed immigration reform.
And I said full answer. I think she went on a little bit more and brought it back to President Bush by name for failing to do something. But But Todd, did she say she's for it or against it?
Well, she said it makes good sense. I got the feeling she might have interrupted herself in the middle of a sentence there. I mean, it wasn't an adroit answer. I'm not sure, Brian. I'm not sure.
Well,
What I am sure of is that she actually wanted to say something more extensive about immigration reform, but in the lightning round, there was no opportunity.
Well, people weren't sure, and so that gave an opening to Obama and Edwards, and here they are.
Unless I missed something, Senator Clinton said two different things in the course of about 2 minutes, just a few minutes ago. And I think this is a real issue for the country. I mean, America is looking for a president who will say the same thing, who will be consistent, who will be straight with them.
I was confused on Senator Clinton's answer. I can't tell whether she was for it or against it. And I do think that is important. One of the things that we have to do in this country is to be honest about the challenges that we face.
All right. So there was all that. But, Todd, I noticed a point in the debate, and you referred to it earlier in critiquing how the debate was handled, that led the two of them to perhaps waffle in a similar way. And I'm going to play both answers right now, Obama first, on the question that I guess Tim Russert asked, whether they would take a pledge that Iran would not have a nuclear bomb. Did he say in their first term, something like that?
I'm not sure.
Or when they are president of the United States, that they would not allow Iran to have a bomb when they're president of the United States. So here is the 44 seconds on that that Barack Obama gave.
We have been governed by fear for the last 6 years. And this president has used the fear of terrorism to launch a war that should have never been authorized. We are seeing the same pattern now. We are seeing the Republican nominees do the same thing. And it is very important for us to draw a clear line and say we are not going to be governed by fear. We will take threats seriously. We will take action to make sure that the United States is secure. As President of the United States, I will do everything in my power to keep us safe. But what we cannot continue to do is operate as if we are the weakest nation in the world instead of the strongest one, because that's not who we are.
So he gave an answer that I actually thought was important, similar to what Clinton said and what John Edwards said. And Edwards said it in 5 seconds, and here's that clip.
What I will do is take all the responsible steps that can be taken to keep Iran from developing a nuclear weapon.
So, Todd, I guess you probably think that the question itself was egregious, a yes or no answer on that, and that the answer, I'll take all responsible steps to see that Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapon, was a good answer?
It's not a bad one-sentence answer to, you know, a blustering question. Obama was wordier. I think probably the operative sentence there was the one he came up with at the end, which was
let me find it.
The last sentence. We should be governed by strength. We're strong, not weak. Which I suppose was a wink toward those who think that because the U.S. is strong, it doesn't have to panic at the prospect of a nuclear weapon.
Here's that sentence that you picked up on. But what we cannot continue to do is operate as if we are the weakest nation in the world instead of the strongest one, because that's not who we are.
Hints and gestures. All of us are committed to Iran not having nuclear weapons. Well, okay, but that's, also, I think, a weaseling out.
But basically, what was the pledge, really, when you come right down to it? It was a pledge that the U.S. would take, the question was about a pledge to take military action.
It really is. I mean, he said, what I wrote down was, will you pledge that Iran will not develop nuclear weapons?
Right.
And I think that, in effect, is, will you pledge to take a military attack off
right.
the table.
And I think that what we see there is now the setup of a real point of difference for the general election, because whether it's Clinton or Obama or Edwards, they all gave essentially the same answer there. That contrasts so sharply with Rudy Giuliani.
Yes.
If he's the nominee, and I think Mitt Romney said something similar, but Giuliani said it the most starkly in the last Republican debate, basically, if Iran develops a nuclear weapon, we will take military action to stop it.
Yes, I think you're exactly right. Then, and here the the breathing distance among these three leading candidates was minimal. You know, and I will pledge to keep us safe was something that one of the other candidates said. I mean, I think that's in the Constitution. I don't think that required that needed to be said. So, in effect, that's what they all said.
Rona in Nassau is going to get our last 30 seconds. Rona, yes. Go for it.
Very quickly. I saw three discussions in New Hampshire. I met Edwards, Hillary, Clinton, and Obama. Edwards was very warm and engaging. He took very specific questions and answered them very specifically. One of the things I liked best was two answers. One was to nuclear power. He will not... nuclear power.
Uh-huh.
The second was Supreme Court judges on abortion. He will not appoint anybody who is not opposed. Hillary spoke very well. Lots of details on her idea. She did not take any questions. She did not address the nuclear issue.
Did these things sway you toward one or the other?
Yes, and Obama spoke very generally about how good he's going to make the world. We should all feel happier.
All right, Rona, we're going to take those descriptions and leave them there because we're out of time. Todd Gitlin's latest book is The Bulldozer and the Big Tent. Todd, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
And our coverage continues.